Oi, Hanneke, a jonte verschiene, a lustige, a fröhliche, ne noch a säune, alle Nacht in Dredlich spielen wir. Frische, heiße Latkes, Essen und Aschir, Geschwinder, sind Kinder, die Hanneke lichtlich sogt alle Nissim, le Gott fa den Nissim, und lomel tanzen in Korn. Sogt alle Nissim, loi Gott, fa de Nissim, en lome alle tanzen in Korn. O Chanukah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all dance the horah. Gather round the table, we'll give you a treat. Sivivon to play with and latkes to eat. And while we are playing, the candles are burning low. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. One for each night, they shed a sweet light to remind us of days long ago. Happy Hanukkah to everybody. Good to see you all. Let there be light. Thus it begins. Let there be light. Vayihi-or. But what light is that? It's not the light of the sun. The sun and the moon are not created till later days. What is the light? Well, if you're of the science-minded kind of person, many of us are, it's the illumination coming from that big bang, the big collision of all those things that are remarkably, and again, I would hate to use the same in a scientific context, miraculously were there at the right moment. So when they combined, boom, it created light. A different kind of light, perhaps, not like the light we perceive today. But it's that light, at least according to my understanding of our tradition, is the light of the soul. That's when the soul was created, that light. And later it became, if you will, inserted into every living creature. You can, especially if you know, people don't often talk about the soul of vegetables, but what activates, you know, vegetation? You know, it's basically the bringing forward, if you, for the essence of it all. So light, we talk about light, it's Hanukkah, it's dark, and every tradition in the world has a sense of why light is good, quote-unquote, why light is good and why darkness is not as good. And of course, the fear of darkness, and we know that in the Genesis story, Adam and Eve, or Adam and Eve are afraid of the dark. And then they're given the light, they're given fire. It's fascinating. In Greek mythology, Prometheus has to steal fire from the gods, who found that technology threatening. Right? People had fire, pretty soon they'll be doing AI. You know, it's really very dangerous. But in our tradition, it's a gift. Light is a gift, fire is a gift. So around Hanukkah time, we talk a lot about light. We talk about how in this... I wouldn't say this was the only day and age that we talked about the darkness around us. There's been darkness around us for many, 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 many millennia. And yet we have this need, not only, as I say, in our tradition, but every tradition, to talk about light. And light it has metaphorical meanings, of course, symbolic meanings. Like I was checking out how light is seen in Buddhism, and it's always seen as a powerful metaphor for enlightenment, right? Representing wisdom. Spiritual awakening. It dispels the darkness of ignorance. It is also the literal and symbolic element in Buddhist art and practice, the halos of the Buddha, the ritual of offering lights of prayer and devotion, the concept of especially central in Tibetan Buddhism, where luminous mind, it's called luminous, clear light, signifies the mind's innate pure nature and the ultimate goal of meditation. How do you get to that luminous mind, that enlightened place, that place that sees beyond the light of the sun, but sees more about the clarity that we seek? What is clarity? I love the word clarity because it really has in it the idea that light can clear things up, get us out of confusion. And I think a lot of the practice that we do is based upon this idea that we live in a world where so many things are going on all the time, so many different things, that we live in a sort of a state of confusion. Now, confusion isn't always a bad thing, but it's bad when you're dry driving. It's bad. There's a lot of places you really don't want to be confused, right? If your brain's a surgeon, you don't want to be confused. But basically, all of us encounter confusion all the time. Confusion all the time. And what the practice is supposed to give us is this capacity to get if you want to use the Buddhist term, a clear light, which allows us, to continue. To continue towards whatever goal we have. And the goals aren't that important. The goal is basically, I think, ultimately, to maintain that clarity. That in and of itself is from my point of view, a very worthy goal, to be able to see things clearly. And in a world of obfuscation and lies and all kinds of manipulations, that's why it's not easy. That's why we got to keep at it. Because we're easily seduced by darkness. Because darkness has also something that's very attractive. I said I was going to talk about the dark as well. You know, we live in this binary kind of a thing. Light is good, darkness is bad. But, in Jewish mystical tradition, there's also the thing of, like, as Reb Dov Zalman once called it, endarkenment as much as enlightenment. Endarkenment. And the idea is that we the night is also very appealing. It's scary, but that's appealing. It seems like people still pay for a lot of money to go to horror films, which I never really understood. But there seems to be a great sort of human desire to be frightened. To maybe it's a release from the frightening feelings they have inside to see, horrible dismemberment on the screen makes you feel better. I don't know. It hasn't worked for me, but for some people it seems to work. It releases you from internal horror by exhibiting it out there. But nighttime also has mystery. And mystery is enticing. It's enticing. It's seductive. What's the mystery? How do you enter into it? How do you solve it? How do you get around it? What is it about it? And of course, what we say, let's shed light upon it. When we shed light upon it, the mystery will clear itself up. But I don't think it ever really clears it up entirely, and that's why the sun does set. Okay? Because it doesn't totally clear it up, and we have to go back into the dark again and come back into the light. So this ongoing, if you will, rhythm is really what we have to basically be attuned to. In our Jewish tradition, we have services for each change in the light. Right, the morning light brings up we do shacharit, which means the morning light. That's what the service means, and then we get to dusk, right, and then we go to night, and that acknowledgement of it. If we didn't have, if we didn't have buildings to quote unquote be in, like synagogues, and we always were doing this stuff outside, become much more intuitive, right? That in the morning you'd like to say wow, and towards the afternoon you're getting a little bit more sedate. And calm, and in the evening you're tired, and you want to go to sleep. And of course, sleeping and awakening are also this derivative of the light and dark image, the light and dark image, and all of these images are used constantly, as you know. And then I was noticing something. I was in going through all this, that we also have created a word light, which is the opposite of heavy. I'm just thinking about that. Why is that? What is it? So in a sense, if you think of it image-wise, what it's saying is that lightness of being, right? A great book by Milos, I forgot his last name, but Milos, as a Czech writer, is the lightness of being. So it means I can intuit with that a little bit for my intuition. Is that saying that there's another image of light? There's light that takes away heaviness. If you want depression, light is a good way to maybe, like people get SAD in the winter, right? So you shine a big light upon yourself, and you can fool your senses a bit that it's not getting darker, but it's getting lighter. So light lifts you up. That's what my understanding is, and whereas dark darkness takes you down. Again, these are binaries that we have to always avoid, because there is no. By the way, even though most of our traditions, East and West, talk about a golden path, talk about a golden mean, right? They don't use the term that we often use, which is gray. I find that a very difficult word to understand. We should live in the gray. I don't want to live in the gray. it's boring, right? The gray, it's the gray is depressing in a way too. Gray, you know, lack of color, lack of color. So yes, we don't want to live in this binary way of either light or dark. We want to find a, so the question is, how do we, what medium do we create that allows the middle road to illuminate us? To be illuminated. I love that term, illuminated. All of us are illuminated. We have electrical charges going up and down our bodies, and we're constantly exuding light, exuding light. And you meet a person you haven't seen in a while, and they're smiling at you, and you see light is coming out of their face, right? And Moses comes down from the mountain, and he has to wear a veil because if he takes off the veil, then his encounter with the divine has made him into a human flashlight. He blinds everybody around him because of his illumination, of his enlightenment. So he wears a veil according to the tradition, something that most people never really have heard of. But he has to protect others from his remarkable experience of encountering the divine in such a direct way. So I wanted to focus our talk on light, and of course, light plays an important role in all of our poetry, rituals. There are many mentions of light. Light is always associated also with the soul, SOUL. What is that about? Well, you know, I don't know. At best, I can conjecture, as much as I know, at least in my puny understanding, is that since all of us, all living creatures, it seems, all humans around the world, share 99 point. I don't know, somebody who's more aware will tell you 0.7%, 0.9% of the same DNA. All of us, right? Which is also remarkable that we still kill each other knowing that all of us share all this. But that's a topic for another day. And yet, there's a little bit that's different. And for me, that uniqueness of that makes you you, and you you, and me, right, is the soul. For me, that's what soul is your unique character, your uniqueness, and the fact that no one can do exactly what you can do in contributing to into the world. That this is your uniqueness, this is your soul. And when you act soulfully, right, what you're saying is basically, I'm bringing that part of myself that's mine, my unique part of myself, and I'm willing to give it into the if you will, that great pot of experience. So light. So in our tradition, as I said, when you close your eyes, there was still a little bit of glimmer, and that glimmer was, it reminded me as I was doing it reminded me of either of sunset or sunrise. There was something that, and of course our eyes, we our orbs, and there was a sense of this roundness as well. So that's what I felt like. And I'd like to get your experiences with light. It'd be wonderful to hear that. Hanukkah, of course, is one of the many festivals in the midwinter. The Hindus have a wonderful, beautiful festival called Diwali, lights, and a lot of these traditions. And of course, the candle is an important thing, or the oil lamp, however it was done in the ancient days. It's very important in focus, in drawing people together. The light draws moths, but it also draws us towards each other. So in a sense, creating community can be based around light. Some would say the first campfire created society, and possibly that's true. And there's a fascination with fire and a fascination with light. I know those of you who have fireplaces that work, it's entrancing. It's very entrancing, and it's meant to be enchanting. And also you have to be afraid of it, because if you let it out of bounds, it creates destruction. So again, that is so humanly interesting that things have these two capacities at the same time for giving warmth and light and all of the things we need. And yet you have to be very careful about it, because, and so it is with God. I believe in our tradition, it's you're afraid that God will break out. I remember that's what when they tell the people at Sinai, don't get near the mountain, don't touch it, create a boundary around it, because maybe God will break out, will not be confined, and it will eliminate you. It will be, you will get so close to it, so close to that fire, that you will basically be exterminated. You will basically be burnt up. And that's what I think many, what makes the Jewish tradition interesting is we never want to get to that place. Even our term devekut, the cleaving onto God, is not becoming absorbed by it. Not becoming absorbed by it, not disappearing, not destroying our ego totally. So we want to create proper distance and back and forth, and then that oscillation between the two is where we can find our balance and find our place in the world. So, this year particularly we had, you know, certain events in the world that have made it very hard to be, but I must say this for me, to see the reaction to what has happened in the last week, I hate to say it, but I've been encouraged. Right? People have been very, you know, despondent about it. I experienced that as well. But I'm encouraged we continue to light the light. Next night after that place, Bondi Beach, guess what? The light was lit again and again and again and again. And we didn't go back and hide. And I think that's really one of the things that we are going to have to do more and more is basically not hide. Be out there and continue to light lights. And I don't have to tell all of you, you're all very aware, that there's really hardly any ritual that we do that does not begin with light or end with light. Right? And the power of that. And yet we, as I say, we don't dispel the darkness as something that is negative, but we see it as this, if you will, the thing that balances light, and we have to have the balance, and the balance of light and dark is where we live. And I hope we can live not a life of gray, but a life where that middle path does indeed illuminate us and gives us a brightness of experience, a brightness of seeing things afresh and anew. And that's what I think light can do for us. We can look at things in a way that we have perhaps not looked at them before. So I've talked too much, and I'll let you say a few words, or what, more words than two if you want. So who'd like to react or not react? Yes, Nancy, please. Unmute.